One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Tana Talk Soccer Podcast. I am Tana and to my right I have the beautiful
Ella.
Today we will be talking about the African Cup of Nations final between Nigeria and host Ivory Coast or Cote d'Ivoire, wherever you're watching around the world, whether it's Istanbul time 11 p.m. or London time 8 p.m. or Nigerian, or rather West African time 9 p.m. I'm sure all of you are glued, are waiting, are excited to see what might be the best AFCON final we have in ages, because it usually isn't a high scoring affair when it gets to that stage. And we're here to discuss how we think it to go. Nigeria, of course, I don't know, Ella, like just basic level, are they coming into this as favourites?
Yes, but I think Ivory Coast being hosts, they'll have a lot of support behind them. And I think it can be, I actually think it's equal, to be fair. I think it's equal in terms of expectation, because let's be honest, nobody thought these two would be in the final. I don't think at the start of the tournament.
We had Morocco, the World Cup semi-finalists, who beat out the likes of Spain and Portugal. Mm-hmm. And just narrowly got knocked out to France in the semi-final of the World Cup. And you have Senegal, the defending champions. And Nigeria didn't come into this on form. And Ivory Coast have quite a good squad, to be honest. But also, they didn't start the tournament quite well. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to them in a bit. I want to talk about Nigeria. Jose Peseiro's Nigeria. They weren't really exuding a lot of confidence amongst the fans. Of course, I'm a Nigerian, so I can speak on that personally. It wasn't really a good run-up. You know, we had very, very horrible and lackadaisical performances, and most importantly, results against teams that, to be honest, had no proper, should I say, even established footballer. And this is saying this with all due respect to them, but it's like, you know, you have our players playing for all sorts of top teams around the world. You just expect better from Nigeria, and those results weren't coming. So coming into the competition, I wasn't optimistic. The first game as well didn't really increase my optimism based on the result. But one thing that happened in that game, and a lot of people haven't talked about, was the amount of chances Nigeria created. Nigeria created about 6 big chances. I think missed 5 of those. The Osimhen header back post was the only one they scored, which was the equalizer, which was right after Iban Salvador gave Equatorial Guinea the lead in that game. But as time went on, what's really worked out for Nigeria in terms of what's different from the games before is we didn't concede. We almost didn't concede, never. And the only game they considered again was, of course, the semi-final against South Africa, which went to penalties. And what this shows you is, more often than not, it's one goal from Nigeria. And South Africa, of course, like, with all due respect to them, they created so many chances. They could have won that game. They could have, and that's facts. But so could Nigeria. Victor Osimhen had a couple of headers. He should be scoring. There was a couple of chances there when Chukwueze slid in Lookman, who wanted to go around Williams, and Williams ready and like got the ball from him. Those were chances. So one thing that hasn't changed so far from that first game, even though we drew and it was kind of disappointing because, oh, we're better than Equatorial Guinea, we're ranked far above them, is the fact that we're being wasteful. And it hasn't punished us really, because our defense has been good. So if it's just one that goes in, it more often than not is enough. You know, so Nigeria, I expect them to come into this exactly the same way they've been. I don't think it's going to be easy for Ivory Coast, but one thing they have to know for a fact is that it's going to be a very different Ivory Coast to the one they faced in that group game. You know, you have Sebastian Ali back and you have Adingra back, and apart from that, they're playing with such confidence now. It's like they were given a lifeline and they are alive. You know, this popular saying is like, you know, if you want someone dead, just make sure you kill him right there, because, you know, if you give him a chance to leave, then, you know, maybe if Nigeria had scored more against Ivory Coast in the group stage game, then they wouldn't have even come through the way about the worst third place qualifiers. Mm-hmm. And so it's they barely got in, you know. So anyway, this match, I think Nigeria are going to win just because Ivory Coast have generally struggled to create. Even though their game against Congo, I think that's their most creative display by far. They won 1-0, but Congo really led them in a couple of times, and they had chances, and of course one finally got in, thankfully for them. But yeah, and with Nigeria's defensive solidity, I don't expect Ivory Coast to create much. As I mentioned, of course, with the likes of Ali and Cole returning, which Ella's going to talk about now, it's a different ball game. Also, let's talk about Ivory Coast. What are you expecting from them, and what have you seen from them so far?
Well, they started the tournament very well, very convincing 2-0 win, but they kind of went off a cliff a bit. In their next two, obviously, defeat to Nigeria, and then that 4-0, very heavy defeat. Their manager got sacked. It looked like they were going out. But again, you said they got given a lifeline. Yeah. And what they faced, the holders, the reigning champs, Senegal, and you thought, yeah, no chance, easy for Senegal.
I predicted that we're going to knock Senegal out.
You did predict. You did. And I think some of us thought you were a bit crazy.
Yeah.
I can't lie, because it's Senegal, and they have talent in abundance. But what Ivory Coast have shown from that game and throughout is spirit. So Senegal scored first, but they came back, and Ivory Coast looked really good. I think they brought on Haller, Pepe, and they kind of changed the game. They took off Seko Fofana, which I thought, like, what? But to be honest, they pushed through, got the goals, went to penalties. And I think overcoming Senegal, being the reigning champs as hosts, you're thinking, that's going to give you a lot of confidence. And they've shown that. Again, Mali went down, came back 2-1. And Congo, convincing win, even though it was only 1-0. So they come in maybe not as favourites in terms of quality to Nigeria, because they have been leaking goals, Ivory Coast, but they have the home support. And
that's a massive factor.
It is.
I have a few friends on ground, and like with each game, like they've even been supporting Ivory Coast so far, because it's like anytime Ivory Coast wins, the country is just, it's just glowing. The energy is unbelievable, you know, and it's just crazy support. I don't think there's anything more heartbreaking than losing a final in your home nation.
Exactly.
And they're not trying to do that. This is epic, you know. You're hosting, you want to win. So Nigeria have it against them. And let's go to predictions, to be honest. Let's go to predictions. I'm confident in Nigeria. I am confident in Nigeria to get the job done, simply because they faced adversity. The games they've played so far this tournament have been different. You saw South Africa, the way South Africa approached that game, it was heavy. The chemistry in South Africa was almost too much for us to contend with, because maybe 75-80% of the players in that starting lineup, at least 80%, play for Mamelodi Sundowns. So they are old teammates, you know, apart from maybe the goalkeeper, Williams, and maybe Percy Tau, who plays in Qatar. I think, then it's they're all home based, and not just home based players, all in the same team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unbelievable. And their chemistry on the counter attack, the way they just kept on. I mean, to be honest, we had a bit of luck here and there, that has to be said, of course. But Nigeria have basically known how to respond. You know, when South Africa, of course, were chasing an equalizer, the Nigeria were very lethal. And in that space, we could have blown them away. You know, so it's almost like whatever is presented, I've seen Nigeria still be able to fashion chances. And with that, I have hope our defenders have been, like, they've been close to perfection. William Trist Ekong, Calvin Bassey, and even Sanusi, who's been awful offensively, defensively. I'll give him his props. I'm not just here to criticize. You know, you have the midfield of Onyeka once more. His passing, the way he's attacked has not really been as good as, I don't know, he's just not hitting the ball cleanly, but he's a tank in that middle and he's working hard. It will be almost everything creative comes through him. He's been under a lot of stick, you know. It's not easy to be JJ's nephew, you know, it's big. JJ is, you know, what can I say? He's JJ. Everyone knows him in the world. He's an icon. He's a football icon. Maybe those same expectations are put on Alex Iwobi, but if you watch back almost every good thing or chance Nigeria have created, or have even missed, you actually see Iwobi is maybe giving the pre-assist to that or something, or he's giving the line-breaking pass. So I think he deserves more props. And Victor Osimhen, this is down to you. This is the final. You know, this is it. You know, like, you've got to be clinical. He's been so relentless in his hard work. He's made things happen for Nigeria. He's helped us. There's no other way to say. Like, I don't know if you're criticizing him. You have to be very, very careful with your criticism, because he's helped Nigeria get to where they are today, which is the final, competing for a gold. Worst case scenario, another silver medal. I don't know if there's any team in the competition's history who have as many silver medals as Nigeria. We don't want to add to that. We want to add to the other one, the tally of three, taking it to four. But today is a day where you see Ivory Coast, they're like, it's like grace. It's like Real Madrid in the Champions League 2 seasons ago. It's almost like, if you're having chances, just score 6 or 7. I don't care, just load it. Like, 2-0 is not enough. Nothing is enough, because it's like, there's a story that they are writing. You see Sebastian Ali as well. Mm. Oh, he's been through personally with his health issues. Mm. And to come back, there's an incredible story there. Ali, I love you. I've been rooting for you for the last 4 or 5 years. I was very happy when you came to the Premier League West Ham. Even though, you know, it didn't exactly work out as much as it wanted to. I love the player and I'm very happy for him. But I'm sorry, getting a silver medal is good enough for you. And I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to predict it. I would say Nigeria will score 2 goals.
Mm.
And yeah, I think Ivory Coast gets one. I think they get one. But I think Nigeria will be in command for most of it. I don't know, Ella, what do you think? How do you think this game will go? And also run us through to the stats. Because, I mean, I'm just speaking, but this game has happened before, time and time again, and let's see how it goes, Ella. How has it gone so far?
So, stats-wise, so every time Nigeria have won the AFCON, they faced Ivory Coast at some point and defeated them. So, you know, whether or not they win or lose, that stat is going to stand. It could be supported. It could just stay as it is. In terms of head-to-head, it's very close. Nigeria have won 3 times to Ivory Coast's 2, and it's been a draw twice as well.
Yeah.
And every time, I think the last 4 times that Ivory Coast have been in the final, it's been 0-0 and gone to penalties. So that's kind of my prediction. I just think it's going to be very close. I think the stats have kind of shown it's going to be a close affair. I think, again, I don't see much in it. I really don't see much in it. I see it going to extra time. I think Ivory Coast will score first for once, but Nigeria will be the ones to come back.
Hey, yo, Els.
And they'll win 2-1.
Okay, good. But I don't think I can deal with the pressure of being behind. I think we've been behind once in this tournament. It was for about 1 minute. In the game against Equatorial Guinea, when Ibar Salvador gave them the lead. And then next, literally it was seconds. And Lukman just did the back post header. And Osimhen equalized immediately. So I haven't felt that. I don't want to feel that in the final, Els. It's a wrong time for this prediction.
To be honest, it's a final. If you go ahead, if you go behind, the pressure is still there. You still feel nervous. The minutes are still as slow as ever. So, or as fast as ever, depending on whether you're winning or losing.
Yeah.
But yeah, damn. I think it's going to be close. But I see the main men coming strong in this. I see your Seka Fofanas, I see your Osimhens, I see them all showing up. I do. I think it's going to be close, but as I said, I think Nigeria will just edge it. I think they faced almost all different kind of opposition. Yeah. So when they're favourites, they've come through. When they're maybe not, or maybe the confidence isn't with them, they've still come through. Yeah, I predict a Nigeria win, just.
All right, guys, it's down to you guys now, and let us know what you think will happen. Are you Team Nigeria? Are you Team Ivory Coast? And most importantly, let's see those of you who have the, should I say, the scoreline prediction talents of Tana. I'm actually quite good with scoreline predictions. I decided to go for it.
Yeah.
And I said 2-1 here. So let's see how that, let's see how that pans out. Els, are you going for it? Like you said, it's going to get to penalty. So you're going for a 0-0, another 0-0 final.
No, I think it'll be 1-1.
1-1, okay.
Ivory Coast, cool. Ivory Coast the lead. I don't think it'll get to penalties. I think it'll be 2-1 in extra time, Nigeria.
Oh, so we are predicting the same thing.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, but maybe, I don't know, maybe a different, what do you route? Think? Do you think you'll do it in normal time?
You know what? I'll just leave it at 2-1.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just leave it at 2-1. Guys, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If not for me, then for this beautiful girl right here. Yeah, it's amazing content, so that's the only way you can show support and also show the algorithm that this is the bomb. Do not gatekeep. Do not be selfish with me. Yeah, so that's it. Bye-bye, guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.